So today, as we begin this series of conversations that are all about financing your reality, we want to talk about what this slightly, shall we say, tongue-in-cheek name is all about. So the simple thing to say is that it is your imagination that finances everything. The reason you're here, the reason this reality exists, the reason why the pieces and parts and all the components are present is because of your imagination. Now, one of the things that you learned how to do very early on, quite some time ago, undoubtedly for most of you, is to take the feedback loop that you get through sensory data, what you see, smell, taste, hear, can touch, and also the things that are a little bit less tangible, things that you are aware of in terms of how your physical reality assembles itself. You take all of this and you confirm your reality again and again and again and again and again and again. Now, when you do it and you're looking at something that you're absolutely or positively in love with and you're saying, oh, I just absolutely adore this and I think this is marvelous and I think this is wonderful and I love this, you're doing it very much to your benefit. When you look at what you have and you say, well, this isn't enough and I need to do more and I'm not working hard enough and I need to go harder and I need to push stronger and I need to be more clear and I need to be more specific and I need to be more this and I need to, should, got to. When you do that, like with any thought, you get an opportunity to do more of it. So you'll have more opportunities to need to do things and more opportunities to should do things and more opportunities to go get things done and go make them happen. If you're participating in this conversation, it's quite likely you're not interested in that. So your imagination is your primary tool. This is what creates your reality, and this is what, quote unquote, finances your reality. The reason why we want to talk about this particular topic is not because there's something anyone needs to do differently, but there's a lot of things you could consider. And these are the ideas that we intend to bring to the table throughout the length of this particular series of conversations. And we invite you to bring the contrast that arises out of your questions to the table so that you can look at them through that broader non-physical perspective that we offer you at your invitation. So the number one thing we want to talk about is sort of the tongue-in-cheek part, financing your reality, as though there's sort of a bank somewhere that you're going to draw cash out of or you're going to draw credit on. And then that's how you're going to have the mountains and the moon and the planet itself and the sun and the stars. And that's what pays for all of this. But of course, nothing pays for anything. The financing of your reality, and this is the bottom line, it's very simple. And you're all going to have wonderful, fabulous opinions about it. What pays for your reality is your willingness to give your attention to what it is that you intend. A very tiny baby knows this. Even a small child knows this. Even someone as old as 3 or 4 or 5 years old still knows this. Now, they're fighting against what they're being told, and we've talked about that before. The child that's having a fit on aisle 3 about not getting what they wanted right in the instant of the wanting of it is doing battle about this topic, this very topic. What they're basically saying is, you're telling me I can't have what I want, but I know I can. And the parent, very well meaning and doing the best they can with what they have, absolutely, positively, without any hesitation, is saying, but no, you can't. You have to learn how to be patient. I don't have the money. We can't do this. I need you to just be quiet so that I can do what I'm here to do and we can get out of here. There's nothing wrong with any of this on the part of either, but that's what that fuss is about. That's what that kicking and screaming over on aisle 3 is all about. That's why that child is wailing, is because they're trying to figure out how to reconcile these two seemingly irreconcilable topics. What the parent may not know to say, and of course there's really no way to say this to a child, you simply just have to demonstrate it if you're going to teach this. What that parent really could be saying is, look, I'm going to follow what feels better to me, and you can follow what feels better to you, and we can do this together. That's my intention. And you can have the same intention or not. You can fight me if you want to, but I'm not going to fight back. Now, we know that's highly theoretical as we sit here on our lofty cloud, but that's an idea at least. And here, this isn't about parenting, and it's certainly not about being a parent or being a child for that matter. These are ideas that you can take and use for your own internalized 3 or 4 or 5 year old that may or may not be having a fit and a meltdown on aisle 3. In other words, you can say to yourself, I am going to be at peace with my reality, and I'm going to treat it, because this is what the parent would be saying. I'm going to treat it as the friend that it is, as the ally that it is, as my own creation, as the thing that is worthy of my honor, which it is worthy of your honor. As that a thing that is here helping me in many ways that I can't even begin to understand, which is absolutely the case. In other words, I'm going to withdraw my need to defend myself, my assertion that I need to do that, my idea of this chaotic universe that is random and full of things that can happen to me on a moment's notice where I won't be able to protect myself. I'm going to put my attention on actually what I do like and what is happening that is wonderful, that is amazing, that is astonishing. You could do that. You could do that right now and right here with no hesitation, immediately. You don't have to wait for something to happen. You don't have to wait for the contrast. You can just say, I am in this right place. I am in this right time. I am right here, right now, and all is well, and all is well. And this is good, and as wonderful and good and delicious and delightful as it is, it really is only going to get better and better from here. So there's great magic going on. There's great wonder. There's great delight. There's great joy, in fact, that is happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. Something wonderful is at play here, and you're in the middle of it. So we invite you to notice that that is indeed the case. We invite you to put your attention on how that is, in fact, what is happening for you right here and right now. There is something magical, there is something wonderful, there is something delightful that is happening, and it is happening for you. So the way you're financing your reality, the way you're paying for everything, is that you're deciding that it is paid for. That's it. That's the answer to the question. How do you finance your reality? You decide that it's done, and it's done. But it's an easy thing. It's not a difficult thing. It's not a thing you work for. It's not a thing you push for. It's not a thing you go get. It's not a thing you should do. It's not a thing you need to do. It is a thing you are doing. If you look around and you see there is a sun in the sky and stars hanging above you, and there is a moon that is moving its way from one direction to the other, and there is an ocean with its crashing waves, and there are birds with their singing songs, and there are clouds that are flitting by. There are wonderful people, amazing, delicious things to taste, to eat, to have, to touch, to be part of. If you look around and see that's actually what's going on, you're going to see how well it's working for you and how well everything is happening for you and that it's really all paid for. Now, this isn't really so much the central topic of this conversation, but this is another thing that we do suggest, and we'll probably come back to this again and again. But this is something we suggest sort of on the sideline that you might really want to consider. And it might become the main course. We don't know. It might be just an appetizer here. You'll know what to do with this thought. But the thought is this. What if what you really said is you just walked around and said, all of this is paid for? And pay attention to the contrast that it brings up. Just notice what happens. And remember that whatever opinions arise, if you don't like how they feel, that means they're not true. They're not true of you. They don't belong to you. They're not your thoughts. They're not your reality. See what happens and see how that feels. And then pay attention. And then notice that you can make another decision. Now, it sort of is, for some of you, maybe sort of like poking a bear. And that can be powerful in itself. You just want to pay attention to the fact that you're doing it by choice and that you're not now suddenly inundated with thought that you are no longer somehow able to make decisions about, but have to simply deal with. Now, any thought that arises, no matter whether you like it or not, is there for you to make a decision about. You can either amplify it by putting more attention on it, or decide that whatever it is quite interesting, but you're not interested right at that moment, and you're going to go put your attention on something else, or allow yourself to have whatever it is that is arising, whatever feeling you don't like, and let it move through you. you can really have anything out of this that you wish, that you desire. And our suggestion is that you pay attention to what feels better. That's your intuition. And that is, of course, sort of the cashier, if you will, that is paying for your reality. That's your intuition. The more you put your attention on what feels better, the easier these things are, and the more it feels like, and the more it looks like, the really good stuff is happening. That's not the reason we would put attention on intuition. We would put attention on intuition because it's the leading edge, because it feels better, because it's simple and it's obvious and it's easy, because it answers pretty much every question, or it really makes the questions irrelevant and presents you with things that are transcendently, amazingly better than any question you could bring to the table or any answer you could contrive on your own. As you pay attention to what is happening, our suggestion is that you let it happen for you, on your behalf and to your benefit. And let it be okay. Let it be wonderful. Let it be amazing. Because it is. It is, it is, it is.